Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. I'll begin at verse number 1 if you'll join me for verse 2, and then I'll finish up with verse 3 of Hebrews chapter number 4. Please stand with me, and I'll begin Hebrews chapter number 4 at verse number 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again. Lord, we just humbly ask that you please be a part of the service. Lord, we've had a great time so far with the singing, Lord, with the music, and Lord, the report that we've had. And Father, we just ask that you please be a part of the preaching now. Help us to listen, pay attention to what you have for us. Be a preacher, give them the words to say. Father, I pray that you bless the special music and then the preaching. And Lord, we will give you all the honor and glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
There's a book that I read, so faded and old, and there on its pages the sweetest story ever told. Down through the sands of time, it has told of love divine. Oh, I thank God I heard that story of Jesus and his glory, and by his grace I've been set free. For I've been purchased with blood, my sins were washed in that flood. He is true and faithful, the beginning and the end. And someday I'll see the heavens open, and there he'll be, the King of Kings. For I've been purchased with blood. From heaven to earth it came, and it's always been the same. Kept by God in purity, holy words for all to see. From Tyndale Huss and many more, in every land, on every shore, though against it hell rages, it still stands through the ages, a rock undaunted eternally. It was purchased with blood, each page is stained in that flood. They were faithful unto death, caring not for life itself. And someday they'll see the heavens open, and there he'll be, the King of Kings, for they've been purchased with blood. So, brother, take a stand with a King James Bible in your hand. Just stand up tall for what is right. Never falter in the fight. And someday you'll hear, well done, when the victory is won. Oh, lift your eyes toward heaven and listen for the trumpet. It will be worth it all when Jesus comes. For you've been purchased with blood, your sins were washed in that flood. He is true and faithful, the beginning and the end. And someday I'll see the King of Kings, for you've been purchased with blood. And there he'll be, the King of Kings, for you've been purchased with blood.
Song. Thank you, Brother Dave, and enjoyed that tonight. Thank you for singing that good song for us. I want to draw your attention to verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want to speak tonight on this subject, maximizing the profit of preaching. Maximizing the profit of preaching. And we'll pray now and ask God's blessing. Father, we want you please to help us tonight both to speak and to listen. May we hear the still, small voice of your Spirit speaking in our heart. And I pray that your word will fall on good ground and bring forth some measure of fruit in our life because we're at church tonight. Help me, I pray. May I be the tool in the Master's hand tonight to be a help and a blessing to your people. Thank you so much for the privilege to preach from this pulpit. Help me tonight in Jesus' name. And amen. Some time ago, I preached a message called Measuring the Profit of Preaching. Measuring the Profit of Preaching. It was based on the fact that preaching sustains us much like eating does. For instance, you probably can't remember what I preached 2 weeks ago tonight. If somebody was to ask you what Brother Angel preached on 2 weeks ago Sunday evening, you probably won't be able to give the topic or the text. Maybe not even from last Sunday morning. Maybe not even from this Sunday morning, okay? You've had a nap this afternoon, some of you, and got a little food in your belly, and it's gone, amen? And that's what happens. You probably can't remember what you ate 2 weeks ago tonight, or maybe even what you ate last Sunday noon for your Sunday dinner. Maybe it would take you a minute to remember what you had for lunch today, but don't tell your wife, all right? Amen. Just act like you know what you had, amen? But here's the problem. You ate. You ate. And the nourishment and the nutrition from what you ate sustained you and nourished you and kept you healthy. You can't recall every meal that you've eaten in your lifetime, but you've eaten regularly, some of us more regularly than others, it seems. And we are sustained and maintained from the nutrients and the nutrition from the food that we eat. Now, that's what preaching does for us as well. Preaching sustains us. It maintains our spirituality. You say, how do you know that? Well, start laying out of church and skipping preaching and see how you do. You start laying out and skipping, you won't be in good shape after a while, friend. And so that's the truth. So this was what I preached about, measuring the profit of preaching. Now, from time to time, I get hold of articles. You probably do. And the article is the same. The article is basically about maximizing the benefits of the food that you eat. Maximizing the benefits of the food that you eat. And it lays out certain ground rules and guidelines to help a person, you know, get the most out of what they are eating. That's wise. That's wise. And I enjoy reading about those things. Don't always pay, you know, don't always develop it in my life. But I enjoy reading and learning about that. And it is wise to desire the maximum benefit out of the Word of God that we hear preached. Now, folks, listen. I'm glad that when I hear preaching, it helps to sustain me. Even when I can't remember what I heard. And it does, okay? But I do like to get the maximum benefit out of preaching now and again. And our text tells us how to maximize the benefit of the preaching that we hear. So if you're interested, you know, you're taking the time to come to church, you're putting the fuel in your vehicle to get here, and you're putting other things aside that maybe you could be doing. I don't know that you should be doing anything better than what you're doing tonight. There are lots of things you could do, and you're in the right place. You know, if we're going to take the time to be here, we ought to maximize it as much as we can. Now, Hebrews is an interesting book. You can learn a lot about the book of Hebrews just from the name of it, Hebrews. Okay? Now, all the Bible may not be written to us, but it is for us. The truth of the matter is, this book is written to the Jewish people, to Hebrew people, and you must understand that. And that's part of somebody asked me, I mentioned about being at football camp and talking with Brother Runyon for about an hour and a half and him helping me clear up some passages in the Bible, and it was concerning the book of Hebrews, and I've learned some things in the last several months and even over the course of a couple of years about Hebrews. I've been wanting to teach the book of Hebrews to church. It's a fascinating book. But you got to get it down as far as the context and everything, or it'll mess you up doctrinally. Now, I'm not going to go deep into the context tonight. I'm going to deal more with the principle that's on the surface here in verse number 2. That's what I want to deal with tonight. Now, the writer said in verse number 2 that the gospel was preached to two groups. You see the groups in that verse? Us and them. You see that? Us and them. Now, us would be those who believed and obeyed and trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. That would be us. Them would be those who did not believe and or obey and did not trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. And so they did not profit. Now watch, folks. Both groups heard the word preached, but only one mixed it with faith, and the profit to that group was salvation. Okay? So I'm going to break down this thing on maximizing the profit of preaching, and I'm going to use four words out of verse number 2 as the outline tonight, okay? Number 1, the first word I want you to notice is the word word. Okay, look at what it says in there in verse number 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word, okay? You see that? Now, this is referring to the word of God. For those who need a little Greek, I don't need a little Greek because I got English, but for those who need a little Greek, the word is logos. That's the Greek word. That's the Greek word that is used in the Bible for the word of God. So the word here is a reference to the word of God. The word of God has the power to benefit or profit a person spiritually. Now hold your place here in Hebrews chapter 4 and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter 23. Okay, go to Jeremiah and chapter 23. We're going to take a moment on the subject of the word, okay? And look at it here in Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning with me, if you would, please, at verse number 16. The word of God, has the power to benefit or profit a person spiritually. Now, look at verse 16 in chapter 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, they make you vain. Can you imagine that? God says to his people, don't listen to the preachers who are preaching. Watch what he says. This is why. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. What comes out of the mouth of the Lord? Words. Okay? So Jeremiah says here, God says to them, the nation of Israel, do not listen to the preachers who are preaching to you. They're wasting your time. They make you vain or empty because they speak a vision from their own heart and not from the mouth, or not based on their preaching is not based on the word of the Lord. Their preaching is based on opinion. Their preaching is based on experience. Now look, there's nothing wrong with using personal experience as an illustration to help get across a Bible truth. But a sermon ought, or a message ought never be built on experience. Preaching is supposed to be built on the Word. The Word that comes out of the mouth of God. And that's exactly what Jeremiah was talking about here. God said, don't listen to them. Look at verse number 21. Look at what he says here. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. I want to say it's pretty hard to speak from the word of the Lord if the word of the Lord is not speaking to you. So God says, don't listen to them. Look what it said in verse number 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people, watch these next four words, to hear my words. That's the problem God has with these prophets in the land of Israel. They are preaching from their own experience. They are preaching from their opinion. They're preaching from their ideas. They're preaching from their own heart, not out of the word of God. And God said, it's vain. It's wasting your time. And I have not sent them. I have not spoken to them. And God said, if they had been in my word and in my counsel, they would have had something to say. Look at verse number 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. They got this experience, had this vision that didn't come from God. How long, verse 26, shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Drop down to verse number 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Now that's important, friend, that you see that part of the verse. And it's important that you see that dream comes first and word comes second. Do you see that? Are you with me tonight? Okay. I'm not losing you for sure yet. Surely. Okay. You see that. Okay. This is why it's important that you understand dream first, word second. Look at the question that the Lord asked. What is the chaff to the wheat? So the chaff is what? The dream. The wheat is the word. Okay, now this is what he said. God said these fellows are standing up preaching, and they're preaching from their own personal experience. They're preaching from their own personal opinion. They're preaching their own this, their own that, their own ideas, their own visions. It's not based, it's not birthed, it's not built on my word. And it's like chaff. You can't get any nutrition out of chaff. You can't get any nourishment out of chaff. The chaff gets blown away by the wind. I can remember my father-in-law running the corn through the corn sheller on the farm there. And the corn sheller would take the kernels off the cob, and the cobs would pile up. And then the chaff, the husks, would just go over in a big pile. And all it took was a great big wind, and away goes the chaff. But the wheat or the grain or the corn, the kernels, were kept in a place to be used because there's nutrition there. There's nourishment there. And God is saying, my people are not being nourished. My people are not receiving any kind of nutrients. My people are not being helped because they're not hearing preaching based on, birthed in, and built on my word. Are you with me tonight? Understand what I'm saying? Okay, so this is what he's saying here. That the only kind of preaching that benefits people and profits people is the preaching that's built on, birthed in, and based on the Word of God. Look at verse number 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. That's chaff. That's chaff. That's a dream. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. People, look, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4 there, okay? People don't need to hear man's opinion, man's dreams, and man's visions. They need to hear man's experiences. They need to hear the Word of God. Look, what you saw tonight on that screen up here in 2 years' time was not built on the dreams and visions and experiences and opinions of Nathan Owens. That was built on God's Word. God's Word profits people. It profits people, okay? Now you say, Pastor Angel, are you saying that in 23 years of preaching in the same pulpit, you've never mingled in with the Word of God, your opinion and your experience? Yeah, I probably have done that, but I want to tell you something. That part of the message is always light. What's heavy, what's nutritious, what's nourishing is that book right there. That'll build you. It'll make you. It'll help you. And so we start, if we're going to maximize the profit of preaching, we have to start with the Word. With the Word of God. Amen? We have to start with that. Okay, number two, the second word in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2 that I want to talk about tonight is that word preached. Do you see it? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached. Now, that word preached is a great word. The word means to herald divine truth. Now, folks, there is a difference between teaching and preaching. Teaching is good. I'm for teaching. Teaching is designed to reach the head with facts and knowledge and truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding. And teaching has its place. And all preaching should have some teaching in it. And one of the qualifications for a pastor is that he is apt to teach. He has an aptitude toward teaching. But when Paul wrote to Timothy for the last time, his last words on planet Earth to his young preacher boy, he wrote to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, and this is what he said. He said, preach the word. Herald divine truth. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the word herald, but when I hear the word herald, I get a mental picture of the person that was called by that name some years ago. Before they have modern means of communication and so forth, if the king wanted to get a message to all of his subjects in the kingdom, they had the herald. And the herald was given the divine message that came, not divine, but the kingly message, that the royal message that came from the king. Maybe it was put on a piece of parchment paper, and he got into a chariot, and maybe there was a person with a trumpet beside of him, and the chariot went rolling into a town or a village, and they would blow with the trumpet, and the subjects of the kingdom would gather in that village, would gather there, and the herald would stand in the back of that chariot and unroll that scroll or that piece of parchment, and he would lift up his voice and he would say, hear ye, and he would begin to herald the message from the king. It wasn't his message, it was the king's message. But he didn't read it nonchalantly. And he didn't deliver it without any passion. And he didn't just deliver it in a sing-song, chanting tone of voice to get the job done. No, he put his all into it when he heralded out the message. And I want to tell you something, friend. That's exactly what preaching is supposed to be. Heralding divine truth. Heralding divine truth. It's getting your voice up. It's lifting up your voice. It's preaching. It's preaching with passion. It's preaching with fervor. It's preaching with the anointing of God on your life. That's what it's... And I'll tell you what... People are developing a terrible distaste for preaching. Terrible. He's too loud. He's too long. Let's rush the people in. Let's get right to the message. Let's rush the people out. Let's not get them settled down with the Bible and the long message. He raises his voice. He shouts. He stomps his foot. He claps his hands together. It just makes me cringe. I need something quiet and smooth. Now that's where we're going. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's a place for teaching, but there's still a place for old-fashioned Bible preaching. Still a place for it, folks. God hasn't changed. God's not changed His plan, His program in the middle. Whoops, time lasted longer than I thought it would. We're in the 21st century now, and I kind of fumbled the ball here. So let's go to more teaching than preaching. I don't see where God has changed His program. I see where people have changed. Now, I'm not picking a fuss with anybody, but this is the trend I'm just seeing. You know, churches will introduce their pastor by saying, "This is our pastor teacher." That's what they're saying. This is our pastor teacher. This is our pastor teacher. A pastor has to have an aptitude for teaching. But a preacher called of God still has a mandate to lift his voice and rear back and preach the word of God, friend, with all the fervor he can. There is still a crowd that responds to old-time Bible preaching. I tell the boys in homiletics class at the college, preaching involves every faculty of your being. It involves your mental faculty. It needs to involve mental faculties of some. Some have tried preaching without involving their mental faculties. I think I was in that bunch years ago. Maybe you think I still am in some cases. I suppose the place where that was on display more than any other was the night bus coming back from Chicago on Sunday night. Oh my goodness. There was more heresy preached on those night buses. After the service in Hammond on Sunday night, we took off on the bus back to Chicago, dropping kids off, teenagers, and wouldn't get back till 12:30, 1 o'clock. And all the way back from Chicago, us preacher boys preached. You never heard so much nonsense in all your life. It was unbelievable. It involves the mental faculties. It involves the physical faculties. I grade the boys on their physical gestures. I read through my Bible and I read where these preachers, these prophets, these Old Testament preachers and New Testament preachers, they lifted up their voice and they smacked their hands together. In some cases, they stomped their feet. And I mean, they preached. And it involves your physical faculties. It involves your emotional faculties. It involves your spiritual faculties. It involves your whole being. There's a place to teach, but there is a time and a place to preach. And so preach, and then preach some more, and then preach again, because there's something special about anointed, Bible-based, Bible-birthed, Bible-built preaching. Something to know. And if you've been a part of these Revival Fires conferences for the last couple of years, that's all it is. Brother Coral is vanilla as vanilla can be. when it comes to his conferences, and it's just preaching after one after the other. And I want to tell you something, friend. After you sit in a few of those services, and God, the Spirit of God, is just squeezing you and rolling you and squeezing you, it's the most amazing thing. I love it. I love the preaching. You can lay it on me. Raise your voice. Lower your voice. Speed the pace up. Slow the pace down. Punch me with something. Make me laugh. Make me cry. Make me think. Make me mad. Make me decide to follow Jesus more closer than ever. I need preaching. I like preaching. And I hope we never tire of it here. I hope we don't develop a church full of people who say, scratch this. I like teaching. I think teaching is necessary. I think it's helpful. I think it's vital. But I want to tell you something. When you start to sacrifice preaching for all teaching, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to make a mistake. So he said the word preach. So if we're going to maximize the benefit of preaching, we have to start with the word. And then we have to have the word preached, heralding divine truth. Now, here's your third word. You see it here in the last phrase of the verse, verse number 2. Look at it. We're in Hebrews 4 now. Not being mixed. Mixed. There's the third word. Now, the word is exactly what you and I know it to be. Mixed. It means blended. It means blended. Some of you enjoy an Arnold Palmer. You like lemonade and iced tea. That's a mixture of two drinks. I'd rather you, if you're going to drink a mixed drink, take that one over anything else, okay? Yeah. That's called Arnold Palmer. I like lemonade and orange juice. It's called the Terry Angel. I really like that, amen? So it's good stuff. You ought to get into it a little bit. I enjoy that. We grow a garden, and we grow that yellow crookneck squash, and we grow green beans. And I like to pick the yellow crookneck squash and the green beans. And then Joyce takes it and puts it in the cooker. And man cooks it. And she cooked the green beans in this cooker and cooked the yellow crookneck squash in this cooker. And then we put it on the plate. And I mix it all together. I love the squash and the green beans mixed together. Love it. Love it mixed together. I don't forget the first time I saw my future father-in-law. And when Nellie was alive, and she made pancakes and eggs, and she made the most beautiful pancakes, and John took a big old stack of 3 or 4 pancakes on the plate, and he put the butter on there, and then he took a fried egg and put it on top of the pancakes, and then he poured syrup over all that stuff. You see, some of you are as basket case as he is in that, man. Syrup on that fried egg and pancakes. He just mixed the whole thing together and ate it up. I mean, he loved it. Now, that is mixing for taste. But this is a different kind of mixing. Now, watch me. Listen. This mixing is a matter of making something work. This is not a matter of tasting good. This is a matter of making something work. Some of you fellows, you got a shed, you got a garage, you got a tool shed, you got a chainsaw. You got a weed trimmer, string trimmer. You got a blower, gas blower. And all of these devices are what we call two-cycle motors or engines. And it requires to run those properly and maximize the benefit of those devices. It takes a what? Mixture of so many parts gasoline and so many parts oil. And they're not talking about something tasting good. We're talking about if the chainsaw is going to cut the tree down. We're talking about if the blower is going to work, blow the grass away. We're talking about if the weed trimmer is going to trim the weeds. If you put all gas in there, it's not going to work. If you put all oil in there, it's not going to work. There has to be a gas-oil mixture or it will not work. I think it was my dad, introduced me to a product a long time ago called JB Weld. J.B. Weld, that is a good, good product. If you're looking for something that you need to stick something together. I got an air compressor. Got my father-in-law's old air compressor he had on the farm. That thing's old as the hills. And it's starting to develop some rust in the bottom of the tank and a couple pinholes. So while the compressor's running and filling up the tank, it's going out the hole. And so I got me a wire brush. I got me some of that JB Weld. And I got me a wire brush. And I wire brushed that thing good and clean. In fact, I put some other stuff on there. And I got it good and clean. Let it dry out completely. And that JB Weld, it comes in a package. It has two tubes. And you have to take equal parts of this tube and equal parts of this tube and mix it together. It comes out in this gray gel and this black gel. And I get a 3x5 card and I get a toothpick. If I'm getting a bigger quantity, I use something bigger. But usually it's just a toothpick. And I'd get this tube and squirt out that much gray and squirt out that much black. And then I mix it. It won't work if I use all the gray gel. It won't work if I use all the black gel. But if I mix the two together, mix it up, I've covered those pinholes up. Up, let them dry, and that compressor runs fine. Holds air. It's called J.D. Weld. It's a great product. But if it's not mixed, it won't work. If it's not mixed, we're not talking about tasting good. We're talking about working. Okay? It won't work. If you got a chainsaw, you're going to have a gas and oil mixture. If you buy the JB Weld, you're going to have to mix both tubes together. So here it is now. We're trying to maximize the profit that's in preaching. We got to start with the Word, and you have the Word preached, and then you have the Word preached mixed. And our last word, you already know what it is. Our last word's right there, that word mixed with faith. There's your last word. Mixed with faith. And friend, in my opinion, this is where the rubber meets the road in our lives. This is where the change is effected. This is where the maximizing of preaching is, watch it, realized or lost. It's either realized or lost. The Word, the pure Word of God, preached with passion and anointing and fervor, if it's mixed with faith, it has the potential to change your life. In this case here, it changed these folks' eternal destiny because the preaching involved the gospel, which means salvation. And if you read carefully in the Bible, you know that faith is more than just mental gymnastics. It's more than the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I think that's not what faith is. Faith is belief carried out in obedience. Faith is action. If you want to do a word study on the word faith, you're going to come all the way back to the fact that it is a verb. It is not a noun. It is a verb. Because faith is taking something that you hear preached and believing it and then obeying it, mixing it with obedience, carrying out in our lives. Hey, what's your example? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is full of examples. I'm not going to preach on all these tonight, but here's Noah. He hears the words of God and he builds an ark and God's going to destroy the world. And Noah believes and he starts building. And the Bible tells us he does that by what? Folks, if Noah had never taken a saw and the boys and gone to the woods and started sawing down trees, I don't care how much he believed what God said, he would have died. It's not, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, oh boy, I believe. It's, I believe what God said, and I better get busy doing it. It's practice, it's obedience. Abraham is called by God. He hears the words of God. Leave your country, leave your kindred, and follow me to a place, and your people will receive an inheritance. And so Abraham believes, and then he leaves his country, and he begins to follow God, looking for a city whose builder and foundation maker was God. And so this is faith. This is faith in action. Faith is hearing God's word, believing it, and then putting it into action. Carrying out the word preached. Hearing the word preached, mixing it with faith. The word preached, if you will, is the oil, and faith is the gas. And there has to be a mixture. So here is how we maximize the benefit of preaching. It starts with the Word. And we hear the Word preached. And we mix it with faith. And if we'll do that, it profits us. Just like it did them. Now here's my point tonight. How many times do we sit and hear the word preached? We go through the effort, the money, the time to be in a preaching service, even come to an altar, but we never mix it. We never mix it. We're just spinning our wheels. I go to church. I take notes and I say amen and I listen. I even go to the altar. But folks, that's just the start. That's just the oil. That's just the oil. That's just the gray gel out of the one tube. When I walk out the four walls of this building and get in my car and get to my house, I have to find out a way to put into practice the principles and truths that I've heard preached that I believe to be true. I have to take that gray gel and mix it with that black gel. And it works. I have to take the gas and mix it with the oil. And it works. That's what the Bible says. The word preached mixed with faith profits us. That's maximizing the benefit of the preaching. Two groups here. Us and them. Them, we hear the word preached. Pure word of God preached, but we do not benefit because it goes unmixed. Us hear the word preached, and it does benefit because we mixed it with faith. Now, often we are moved in our hearts and minds about some Bible truth that we have heard preached. And once we're moved in our hearts and minds, folks, and we say the Spirit of God's working on us and saying, boy, that's right, that's true. And we agree with the Spirit of God and say, Lord, that is so true. After that, we must sit down and figure out how to put the principle, the truth, into action. That's faith. Carry it out. And by the way, sometimes that faith requires a lot of belief. Just in, I'm not stepping out on nothing. I'm stepping out on what God said. You try to convince somebody who's first saved or newly saved that if they'll believe and obey God in the matter of tithing, they'll live better on 90% of their income than they will 100%, and they'll say, you're nuts. But you know that's true. You know that's true. Now, here's Noah, and God tells him in Genesis chapter 6, I want you to make an ark. And I want you and your wife and your three boys and their wives to get in it, and two of every living thing of all flesh, male and female. That doesn't take a lot of sense to figure that one out. And so, put them on there, and I'm going to keep you alive and destroy all else in the world. And so, Noah hears all that. Now, here is the key verse in Genesis chapter 6. It's verse 22. Now, listen. Thus did Noah. There you go. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that was faith. Faith wasn't Noah sitting there saying, I believe it, I believe it. Yes, God, I believe it. Faith was Noah carrying out God's commands. And when he did that, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Him, Mrs. Noah, and the three boys and their wives all were spared. We have a world today full of animals because of it. You love your dog? Thank Noah. Love your cat? Go see a psychiatrist. Amen. Don't blame Noah for that. Now look. Listen, I'm done. Attending preaching faithfully sustains you. It keeps you going from week to week. It maintains. It nutrishes you. The nutrients nourish us. Just attending preaching services faithfully, I believe, does some good. And you measure the profit of preaching that way. It keeps you going. But maximizing the profit, you've got to mix it. Got to. Folks, I don't care how many lessons or messages I preach on child rearing. Sit there and nod your head up and down. If when you get home, if it's been a Bible principle, if you don't find a way to mix it with faith and obey, it's not going to profit you just because you heard it. That's what's so helpful about this little thing. I'll promise you there are folks who are profiting from your prayer life more than you ever have because you heard 6 or 7 messages on the subject of prayer and you were moved in your heart about it. But now there's a little PR 101 on your dashboard or on your mirror or somewhere else, and you're somewhere where you go in your daily, and you are acknowledging God in the ways of your day like you never have before. You know what that's called? That's called faith. That's called profiting from the word preached. And listen, you've heard me say a couple of times that the last Sunday night in August, we're going to introduce a program to our church for about 12, 13 weeks this fall. And it's a different program than anything we have ever done here. We've done something similar, but the purposes were not the same. This is a pure principle from God's Word. And friend, we are going to give you the vehicle to put it into practice in your life. I'm excited about it. There's a lot of potential for this thing, and it's not going to interfere with the preaching services. It's not going to interfere with the soul winning opportunities. It's not going to interfere with the bus ministry. It's not going to interfere with anything whatsoever. It's an addition to all this, and it's not going to require a lot of work on anybody's part. It will require some commitment to mix with faith, take faith and mix it with this Bible principle, and I promise you, you and I will profit from it, because that's what God said happens when we take the pure Word of God that's been preached and mix it with obedience. God said we profit from that. I'm going to talk about it next Sunday night. You know, in a crowd this size, in a church with all kinds of different people, there's always, always got a naysayer, but I'm tuned out to that. Tuned out to that. This has the potential to be something very, very powerful for not only us as a church corporately, but for each one of us as individuals. And it's nothing more than taking a Bible truth that's been preached and mix it with faith. And when you've got that going on, I don't care if it's about your marriage, your children, your finances, your work decisions, whatever it applies to, when you and I grab hold to a Bible truth preached from the pure Word of God and then take it and mix it with obedience, it profits us. We're all going to fit in one or two groups. Us or them. Us or them. The us's profited because they mixed the truth with faith. The them's didn't profit. They heard the same truth, but never mixed it with obedient faith. You with me tonight? That's how you maximize the profit of preaching. Say, was it important for me to be in church tonight? Yes, it is. Important for me to hear the preaching? Yes, it is. But if it's going to be effective in our lives, it's important what we do with it when we leave here. In just a few minutes. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention tonight. I trust you're glad you came to church. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you that the word preached mixed with faith profits us. Father, I pray that you'll please help us, Lord, to, as we go to preaching services and we listen to preaching that I trust, Lord, is Bible-based and Bible-built and Spirit-anointed, that, Lord, we would leave determined to mix it with faith. God, that it would profit us, change us, make stronger marriages, more godly homes, a more sanctified, holy life, a greater witness, whatever. Help us, Lord, please. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.